You know, people want certainty, but we live in an uncertain world. I think it's time to accept that and accept that, you know, the thing that you can do is whatever stays in your control is you own your own narrative in this rapidly changing world. I live by that mantra, right? And everybody who works with me knows my favorite sentence, own your narrative. So I practice the curiosity, the altitude, and, you know, sticking to the narrative and making sure like that I'm not losing my own self of meaning in all that craze that is currently going on. So always try to reconnect to yourself and to your own story. And are you still clear about where you want to go, what you want to achieve, and why you're doing certain kind of things?
Hi, and welcome to CMO Convo. I'm Michal Assmann, your host and a global marketing leader. Today we have with us a very dear friend of mine called Robin Karakash, former VP Marketing at Mozilla, GTM 10 award winner for best marketing software, and now the founder of Curious Altitudes, a narrative advisory where he helps leaders build narrative systems and create clarity, trust, and direction. Robin, I'm so happy to have you as my guest, and we've been so much looking forward to recording this episode, actually.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so maybe I can also share. So, Robin, we met in the Product Marketing Alliance Summit here in Berlin. It was the first time that we ever hosted something like that here in Berlin, actually. And it was just so cool to see on live, you know, your perspective. And that is also what attracted me to have you here as a guest. So maybe before we dive in into our topic, which is narrative leadership, I would love it if you can share a bit about your journey, because I know that you've been working in major brands such as Coca-Cola and Mozilla, of course. Maybe you can take a bit of your journey.
Yeah, thanks for having me again. It's really exciting to be here. I think my journey, just in a couple of sentences, I'm like always been obsessed about language and the creation of meaning through language. So I started out always wanted to become a journalist. I studied political science. I was a literature major. And then suddenly I ended up in this space of marketing. Right. I started as a copywriter and then, you know, and I got stuck in this world and I created through the language, you know, brands and I moved up through the organizations in time. As you said, you know, many, many global organizations. And I saw also that, you know, language is not only for storytelling, but language is also a leadership trait. Right. It's a tool that you have to grow and bring in order to really streamline or navigate through organizations and shape their narratives. So I kind of got stuck in this red thread of creating meaning through language. And that's what I'm doing today too.
Yeah, sounds super, super interesting. And I would love, you know, also to explain maybe a bit more for our audience. So you talk a lot about leadership actually starting with narrative clarity. Maybe you can share a bit about why it's so important to have this clarity around the narrative.
Yeah, I think maybe let's talk about what narrative actually means, right? So there's a lot of there's a lot of storytelling that comes with marketing, but narrative is actually what I would say is the glue, is the sense-making process. And you often feel it when you don't have an organization, when you have different narratives hitting the organizations coming from product, from, you know, marketing and coming from the C-suite and, you know, and then HR and everything is not aligned. So there's a lot of misalignment when there are different narratives. And I think when you talk about a narrative, it's a unifying source or force within organizations. So there's a power behind it when you all understand why you're doing certain kind of things, why you're resolving some consumer tensions that are potentially out there, right? And that clarity, you know, especially in an era where we have so much zigzag and change that we're going through is, what keeps us, what's the compass to drive us forward? And I think that's where a clear narrative is actually so powerful and helpful, right? And really understanding what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Yeah. So maybe you can also share a bit about why is there so much misalignment? I mean, if you're all working on the same company and on the same product, trying to achieve the same goals, where is this misalignment coming from in your perspective?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there are three factors. One is a human factor, right? So there's a human factor of, you know, wanting to potentially lead, wanting to show, wanting to prove yourself, right? There is the factor of change that is really amplifying like direction, like, you know, where do we, it's, you know, where do we need to go? What's our orientation for the future? And I think the third one is potentially also, a capability, right? So it's like, how do you structure a certain kind of a system, especially with technology changing so fast? What is the right path? And, you know, that all leads to a lot of misalignment. And I think, you know, in the center of misalignment, the driving force going back to what, you know, what is very important is, what are we actually solving for? How does actually success look like, right? And, you know, in all that chaos and on all these kind of, you know, power struggles and everything that I said, you know, change and technology taking over is like, what's, how do we ground ourselves back into what really matters, you know? That's very important.
Yeah. Yeah, 100% agree. So it's kind of like going back to the roots and finding a meaning. Yeah.
I always say grow from the core. I think in times of change, companies often lose their grounding. They want to be someone else. They copy other people's playbooks. They think they are not good enough anymore. They get kind of self-conscious inside, right? They change leadership like rapidly and so on. So I think don't forget where you're coming from and don't forget what you've built over time. Even there's technological disruption, you need to be on your toes. But be very clear around why you want to do certain kind of things before you change radically or pivot without, you know, because you feel like you have to. And often that force is a felt thing. It's a psychological thing, not only a rational thing sometimes.
And thank you for sharing. Robin, I would love to ask you, how do you differentiate between what we know as storytelling as a marketing tactic versus narrative as a more strategic leadership, let's say, tool?
Yeah, I think storytelling is an art, right? It's amazing. And I think, you know, it's still something that, you know, is most compelling. People love stories. You know, I would say it's the packaging. It's something that, you know, the way we bring things across in a way that, you know, stick. Narrative goes a little much, much deeper, right? And I think narrative is, to you, what you just said, is a sense-making tool and a strategic leadership tool. It's something that you can use to streamline your strategy, right? It's something that gives a form. I would call it an infrastructure, actually, and a systematic infrastructure of why you're doing this. So it goes a little bit deeper, right? In that sense, not a little bit, it's actually necessary and it's something that's deeply profound for the organization, right?
Yeah.
You can storytell then the narrative, right? So that's also important, right? So how do you bring that into the organization, right?
So maybe it starts, you know, like if I'm thinking about it as a pyramid or as a building, so narrative is the foundation.
Exactly.
To an extent, yeah. As you said,
it's a foundation.
Grounding.
Yeah, I call it the... I would call it, and we would talk about it probably, a little bit more the architecture.
Yes, and we will talk about it, yeah. Robin, I would love to ask you, what are some of the most common pitfalls that leaders fall into when they're trying to make sense of a change, right? And I think that change is a huge topic. It started in 2020, let's say, yeah, it emerges in 2025, but now I think that we're all under a certain type of transition.
Right.
What does that mean? And how can, you know, for our audience, how can leaders avoid falling into these pitfalls?
Well, it's so easy. You know, when we're under pressure, you know, we always go back to, you know, some in psychology or in coaching that we call a basic assumption, right? We're going into survival mode. We're going into, oh my God, we have to do these things because, you know, and you know, fight, flight mode kind of thing. So I think there are common mistakes, I would say, or pitfalls. I like that word. Better, which we just said, right? Every team is going in its own narrative and trying to fix the problem from their angle without having a shared sense of what are we actually doing. I think one of the pitfalls that I've seen constantly is teams A turning against each other then, right? So this struggling and fighting for and, you know, and trying to fight it out. So that just wastes a lot of time, especially now in the age of AI, where everything is radically changing so fast and accelerating. So you need to be really crisp because the competition gets so much harder out there, right? So you just need to be tight. And I think the pitfall that I've seen is that you create more stuff. You think you're drowning in complexity. You think complexity is something like you think that's depth, right? You're throwing more. Teams get stuck with more dashboards and more things and interpretive. You know, and more is often is people are drowning in information and in complexity versus stop, time out. What are we actually doing here? This is complex. You know, mm-hmm. and just naming it and then taking that time to really then decomplexify this and simplify these things is what people should be doing, right? Ideally, yeah. or could be doing, right?
Yeah, I agree. And that leads me to my next question, which is how can marketing leaders translate complexity into mm-hmm. coherent, actionable guidance for their teams and organization? Because I think that we're all drowning. I think that what you're sharing is yeah. Mm-hmm. extremely true. There's so much out of everything and there's so much noise as well, and it's sometimes so easy to just get lost. So as leaders, mm-hmm. how can we translate or I don't know reduce the noise and make this complexity into clarity?
Yeah, I mean my leadership practice is called Curious Altitudes. So one method I always use is, you know, what I call is to take that step up. In that all, when you're drowning, right, and you're feeling it's everything is too much and you don't have clarity, let's take an altitude. Let's take a step up and let's understand the pattern. And I would say, you know, I do an exercise, which is called locate. You know, every time locate, 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 I call it, like, you know, every time when everybody goes crazy and everything gets very complex, it's like, okay, what is so complex about it? Let's hear everyone out. What is the complexity? Because people tend to be also then when they don't see the patterns anymore, right? They're just huddling in the mess, I would say, and keep, you know, it's like a hamster wheel and you rattling and you have like hundreds of hamsters. You create output, but it's like, you know, it just feels stressful and you feel like I can't do it anymore. So I feel like that kind of like, you know, time out. What are we doing? Why are we doing this? And what's the effect of doing that? Mm-hmm. You know, these simple questions get lost. We all know it. You know, I've seen it too many times in the organization where we're like, why are we doing certain kind of things? People are like, well, we have to. And who says that? I don't know. Somebody up the organization. Well, no, mm-hmm. you know. So take that curious step, be curious about what you're doing, understand the patterns that why you're doing it. And then, you know, think about before you jump and act.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, you know, for me, I call it like, let's zoom out. Let's take it one step back. Mm-hmm. Let's understand what we're trying to do here. And I think that one mm-hmm. thing that really attracted me towards you when I saw your talk also in Berlin here is the fact that you're also a coach. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. so then we talked about how important it is these days for marketing leaders to also have coaching abilities to an extent in order to give this clarity. So thank you very much for bringing this up. Mm-hmm. Robin, I would love to ask you, you emphasize narrative systems that maintain mm-hmm. trust and direction, right? And I think that trust mm-hmm. is also one of the keys mm-hmm. here. Can you share some examples of how a strong narrative system has helped a team or a company navigate uncertainty? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, I used to work for ASICS, the running brand, the shoe brand, the manufacturer. It's more than running brand, right? It has so many different product lines. But when I started, it was very stuck in the performance of running, right? It's like running as performance. It was in the category of Nike, Adidas, and wanted to play in that field, right? Because that was the category convention. But ASICS has something beautiful in the center, but I felt that it kind of lost that kind of grounding, like what we talked before, and lost its narrative from the beginning, because ASICS means anima sana in corpore sano, which is, you know, the founding principle, which means a sound body, a sound mind and a sound body, right?
I've never knew that, by the way. So that is super cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And you know, and here's the cultural tension. We all feel it, right? So we don't do sports just to be performative, but we do sports because it's good for the body. It's good for our mind. And nobody ever talked that story, right? And it's inherent in the brand. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and just not being in, you know, playing by the category, but identifying your own narrative. By going back to what made it really strong is gave not only the company confidence, it gave it direction. Everyone knew what to do. You know, that's the filter and that's the clarity that everyone is like, oh my God, I have not only an identity, I have a storyline that I can do, but I have a clearly sense-making process that really connects to the core. And, you know, you can look at the numbers since ASICS has changed that, you know, kind of positioning, which took a lot of work. And it's been a multi-year project, right? And the teams who are working on this right now are so, you know, so powerful and so such great storytellers who are using this. So I look at all at that brand, how they turned around that scenario through that narrative.
Yeah. So I would love to ask you, you know, now there's a huge need for speed, especially with everything that is happening. Yeah. And marketing leaders also are required to act fast, react fast to the market, etc. Do you have any thought in mind that we can share with our audience in regarding to with that need in speed, how can we still remain thoughtful and human-centric and still keep a very clear, profound communication also with our teams?
Yeah, I think sometimes what I've seen is speed is self-inflicted, I would say. You know, I think, and sometimes it's before you run, maybe you do a couple of, you know, the typical crawl, but I would say think, right? So the time of locating, zoom out moment and be very clear. And what I mean with this, once you have that narrative structure, so for me, it's always fix the narrative first, right? And then you can actually speed up because everybody understands what you're trying to achieve. The problem starts in the speed is that when nobody understands what to do, everybody is just busy and the speed is accelerating, you feel lost in that speed. And that's quite powerful to see because it unlocks some really powerful forces and you lose in the market. So I think to your point, I mean, there's something else you said, which is important, is human depth, right? And I think in times of research being more synthetic, systemized through AI, and you know, and drowning in potentially sameness of the same kind of data sets that you're looking at, is like, don't lose the human connection and understand the human tension. And I think that's something, what I call the cultural tension, which I don't think marketeers can lose, forget. What are you solving for? And that's, you can, you know, that's something that AI can't do. That's the cultural tension that needs to be identified. And that's the job that still needs to be done. And once you identify the core and why you're doing certain kind of things, you could speed up because then everything becomes much more clear, right?
Yeah.
And fun. Honestly, you know that feeling of flow, right? You feel like when everything is aligned.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% with you on that. I always say also, you know, like at my workplace, clarity is key. Yeah. So clarity is key. So first let's reach that and then we can speed up.
Right.
I 100% agree. I would love for you, maybe if you can, yeah, just share even in a nutshell for our audience, how do you even start with narrative architecture? Let's say, what will be the first step in organization?
Yeah, I think I use a very simple stack, right? I try to really be clear around this. So I think I start, as I said, with the locate exercise. What are the different storylines that are going on and narratives in the organization? What is the actually consumer tension? You know, are we clear in the organization about this? And you would be surprised, like how many, you know, between marketing, leadership and product are totally different things that we think that the consumer tension is, right? So I think I would start there. So locate, okay, really be clear around this is misaligned and be open about it. Like, okay, and we need to choose a direction, whether, you know, you're on board of it or not, but, you know, we need to choose a direction. So I start with locating. I think then is the second part is own, is the part of what's our business outcome. What do we actually, what success looks like? What are we rallying around? What's the thing that we need to achieve? And it's not only the numbers and so on, but what do we need to achieve as an organization culturally, internally, to make that happen, as well as the business, as well with the consumer shift. And then, you know, I said the next step is compass. So set the direction and build the decision filters. Really be clear about how do we decide, you know, what's the language? What's the framework? Around lots of organizations have different frameworks within their organization. I would say cut this, build one framework, how we filter decisions. Very simple. Like, is this on brand? Is this supporting the narrative? Is this hitting our business goals? So you can develop that. Most companies overcomplexify this part, you know, it's terrible to see. So I think your compass can be very clear, very simple. And then I like the last point is like, you know, if you have these three things very clear at the beginning, what I just said, you can swim. You can empower people to, you know, to enable them to just go because they're really clear around it. And it's not, you know, in a lot of organizations I've seen that you have to ask for permission. It's a permission culture, like, because the narrative is not clear. Everybody has to go up and because everybody's insecure if this is the right decision to be taken. Yeah. If you're really grounded in what I just said in these three steps, you're really clear. You can just let your team fly because they're just, you know, they just know how to execute this because everything is pretty clear, right? And it builds trust in organizations. Yeah. Now think about any organization right now where this is not happening. What happens to trust?
If you ask me, trust is the main thing that we need to work on at this moment. I think that is the main, it's a huge key. I don't even know where, how, and how I'm going to understand it differently, but it's a huge topic in my, in the way that I observe things as well. So I just want to recap. So there's a lot of simplification. So simplify, have one framework. Yeah. If I'm recapping what you said.
Yes.
Yeah, give people confidence and trust, and of course, reach clarity, which will help the organization move faster and swim. Yeah.
100%. So, and I call this my fourth step methodology. You can use any kind of other methodology, but I used to work in American organizations, so I've tried to simplify that, right? Also in the narrative and the storyline structure. You know, you can complexify it if you want to at every part, right?
100%. And I think, you know, like me coming from B2B, oftentimes you just see unnecessary complexity. Why do we need that? We're all humans. Let's just speak in a human language and understand each other and go. Yeah.
But you know what? I think one more thought about what you just said is that complexity adds also a place of expertise. What I mean is it gives you, like, if you complexify in certain kind of things, it gives you a role, right? And right now I see a little bit, a lot of tension in the organization because, of course, the AI shift, is my role still needed, right? And I think the role might be needed. You might need to up-level or build a certain kind of capability, but do not complexify just to be, you know, to make things stick. I don't know if that makes sense, but I've seen that, right?
Yeah, I agree. And I think that actually less is more. I think that actually the people that are standout are the people that can move fast and give this clarity. Because especially, as we said even earlier, we're drowning with information, with world events, like the amount of things that our mind need to grasp. Mm-hmm. Even just 100%. On a daily basis, it's enormous. So, of course, when you're coming to work, you need to keep things as clear as possible and as focused as possible. Yeah.
Can I just add one thought? Because on this, clarity is kindness. Somebody told me once, clarity is kindness.
True. Clarity is kindness.
Yeah. And I like that. And I think clarity also takes courage, right?
Yeah.
Because you potentially hide behind decks and numbers and so on, but you know, and
it makes you accountable. It makes you accountable.
100%.
Yeah.
And potentially a lot of people fear that, right? So you need to be willing to take that accountability and put your head out there. You know,
and keep things complex and vague, and you can, you know, easily dodge the accountability section. I agree with that as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would love to ask, so how can leaders ensure that their narrative doesn't just live at the top, but it actually empowers the employees, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. I don't want also our audience to think about, okay, we're talking about something very abstract, very top level. I mean, no, we're talking about something very actionable, very manageable that should bring a lot of, goodness into organization.
100%. I think if a narrative doesn't travel, it stays a mission statement. It's hollow words, right? So that then it's not a narrative. I think I would call, there's also like a simple test which I would call the narrative stress test. You know, is wake up everyone
ask,
go into your organization. What are you doing? Why are you doing this? Right? Ask them. Like, and sometimes you hear lots of complaints, not clear and so on. And it's like, very good organization is like, this is why we're doing this and this is what we need to achieve. Right. So again, I'm simplifying, radically simplifying, for the sake of it. Right. We know that the world is complex. And I think a narrative takes that into account as well, just to be clear. But, it shouldn't live on the top. In fact, actually, a narrative comes from the core and from the people as well. And you start listening in the location exercise of what people think in the organization, right? A lot of leadership teams I've seen that they try to fix the strategy only here, but not taking, this into account. So the people and the consumer, right? So, and I think if you bring that triangle along, then you can unlock a powerful narrative.
Yeah. Yeah, 100% agree. Mm-hmm. I would love to ask you, how do you see marketeers using narrative as their strategy, especially with the rise of AI? Because I think that, and if I'm looking back, also in CMO Convo, in 2025, one of the hugest topic was AI. So almost mm-hmm. every guest that I had here was talking about AI. And I love the fact, actually, that we're not talking about it. And there's also mm-hmm. a reason that we're not talking about mm-hmm. it. So I would love to hear mm-hmm. from you. What are the actual keys that marketeers have now? Because we know that, AI is a tool, and I don't want to talk about AI mm-hmm. here.
Yeah.
What is your perspective if it's not that?
I think AI is a technology, right? Like any kind of technology, you need to understand how you systemize it and how you make it work with what kind of objective within your organization. I think we see three phases of what I would call a CMO evolvement, right? And we can talk about the organization around it. One, early days, I would say it was the brand storyteller, right? And still, you stack up the capabilities. You see also, the CMO function sometimes becomes a very junk drawer of like so many different disciplines, right? That you potentially lose, again, the altitude and the perspective because you're stuck in too much in the weeds. So I think we talked about the brand storyteller. The second phase was the growth performance. It's a whole capability that came with the digital age and the whole online shopping and so on. And so conversion metrics is, and also there's this capability of growth and brand, right? So usually you had these two conflicting marketeers. Either you had this person who could do this or this person could do this, it converges. There's a next phase that I think this is what I would say is with the age of AI, and this is, I would say it's a CNO, which is the chief narrative officer, or I would say it's the chief sense-making officer, right? So it's the architect that is building the infrastructure so that we actually have clarity, narrative clarity, but also strategic clarity, how we are solving the consumer tension in the future and how we answer that. And I think within that, this person, he, she, they is a systematic builder. It's a system infrastructure builder that also takes the power of AI into hands, because I think that the topic of growth, as an example, will be very automated by AI in the future. Potentially also I wouldn't say the creative process as such, because I think the brand building is still an art, right? You can use AI as a tool around this and storytelling. People potentially also reject fakeness, if it's not mm-hmm. good storytelling as well, right? So I think there's still like the brand management part of that that's really important. But I think the next phase will be that kind of architect that really can take the organization along in that rapid transformation and makes sense of change, right? And I think that's what I see, and that's where I see this new capability coming in, right? It's a full-rounded person who potentially needs more capabilities than performance and brand building, but actually also taking organization people along the way in a very radical new form as we're changing so many things.
Yeah. There's a lot of change management into what you just shared. Yes. And I think the change management, not as a buzzword, but actual learning how to bring people together under a new vision and keep mm-hmm. things aligned and leadership.
It's leadership.
Yeah.
And I think I would say if you had to say is that narrative is a leadership tool. We said that before, right? And that's a leadership capability
100%.
To bring people along. Exactly. And be that calming force in the storm, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like it. Thank you, Robin. We're coming to the end of our really amazing episode, and we are now also opening 2026. And I would love to ask, do you have any tips or habits or practices that you would love to share with our audience before we finalize this episode?
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm going back to curiosity, which is a value and trait of mine, and altitude is, I think, also what, you know, one of my leaders always said, you know, I buy your great power is the altitude, the perspective you bring and to the table and so on. So I would just encourage all of us in wherever we are right now, you know, all this, everything is changing so fast. And yet people, you know, we're also still human. So we need time to digest some of these things. So understand the pattern, be curious of what's to come. And I think there's also something around which we don't have. And, you know, people want certainty. You know, this is how we pull, but we live in an uncertain world, right? And I think it's time to accept that and accept that, you know, the thing that you can do is whatever stays in your control is you own your own narrative in this rapidly changing world. And I think I live by that mantra, right? And everybody who works with me knows my favorite sentence, own your narrative, right? It's like, stick with it. And I try to practice that. So I practice the curiosity, the altitude, and, you know, sticking to the narrative and making sure like that I'm not losing my own self of meaning in all that craze that is currently going on, right? So always try to reconnect to yourself. And to your own story, and are you still clear about where you want to go, what you want to achieve, and why you're doing certain kind of things?
I love that. Robin, you're such a guru. Thank you so much.
I haven't heard that before. Yes. All right.
Very Zen.
Thank you.
It was a Zen moment of wisdom for marketeers.
Everybody's Zen. Yes.
Everybody's Zen. Mm-hmm. Great. Then, yes. Robin, I would say thank you very much for being a guest on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of CMO Convo. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a rating and review on your preferred platform. Don't forget to tune in next week for another insightful conversation with a leading CMO.